You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
He's a fantasy guru. In a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations, like his news or noise segment, are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today and welcome in to another show. It's Tuesday, April 27th. We're just about 48 hours away from the start of the 2021 NFL Draft, which will give us all sorts of fodder to react to. But today we're going to do a mailbag. But before we get there, Matthew Berry, good morning.
Good morning, Field Yates. You and I were discussing on Twitter about the fact that you were unaware that I was a cast member of Avengers Endgame, the highest grossing movie of all time worldwide.
Right.
Which yesterday was the 2 year anniversary of the release of Avengers Endgame, which once again, highest grossing movie of all time worldwide. I have, you know, four lines in the movie. I'm a cast member. So what I thought I would do here is just take you through, since you're unaware of it, just take you through moment by moment exactly what I did in the movie.
Yeah, this won't take long, so go ahead.
Yeah, this is great. Not true. So I'm sitting there. By the way, you know what, though? Jokes aside, I am, because if you can see this, that scene in Avengers Endgame that I'm in is also the first scene of the new Loki series on Disney Plus.
What?
So not only am I star of stage and screen, Field Yates, but I am now a big part of Disney Plus. I'm a company man.
All right, Stefania, how are you doing? Because enough of that stuff with Matthew.
You know, yeah. Did you see my comment on Twitter when you said that when Matthew said he would have you in shape and over to explain it? And I said, oh, it's just like any other day of work.
Yep, sounds about right. So
I actually thought that was a pretty good line. I give you props. That was a very good burn on by you.
Stefania, as always, bringing the heat both on Twitter and here on the podcast. So we're going to get to some mailbag questions, but I am going to turn the keys over to Daniel Dopp, who's going to start the show as our host.
Absolutely, guys. We got a bunch of Q&A questions from Twitter, but I just wanted to lead in with it being draft week. I think it's really interesting. I got a couple of questions I want to ask each one of you. Stefania, you are the 49ers GM. You are picking third. Right. Zach Wilson already off the board. Trevor Lawrence already off the board. You have Justin Fields. You have Mac Jones. You have Trey Lance staring you in the face at three. You are the picking for the 49ers right now, Stefania. Who do you want as your quarterback in this draft?
So I did a mock draft last night with Melissa Jacobs organized. It's all women doing this. And I was assigned this pick for obvious reasons. So my question, first and foremost, becomes, are you asking me who you think the 49ers will pick, or are you asking me who I would pick if I was – okay.
Who you will pick if you were the 49ers GM, not who you think they'll take. Seeing through all the smoke screens, Stefania Bell is the GM. Who is it that you're taking with this pick to lead your franchise for the next 10 years?
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance.
Ooh, interesting. Tell me why. Has that changed or no?
because of what he has the potential to bring. I don't even have all my notes in front of me. I got a whole long list of notes. I really like him. The more I've studied him, he's young. He will not even be 21. He'd be 20 years old, drafted. So he would be through his, he'd only be 25 at the end of his first rookie contract. He offers a ton of mobility, accuracy. I think he's, you know, bright and can certainly handle this offense. He has played under center in addition to under, you know, in addition to shotgun, which a lot of college quarterbacks don't do. I just like the growth potential for him. But the thing with Trey Lance is that if you're bringing him in, you really are expecting that you're going to have Jimmy G for a year and you're going to be grooming Trey Lance for a future in the NFL. He is not a quarterback that I'm looking to bring in and start now. So to bring him in, I have to believe that I, if you are asking me as a GM, am being truthful when I say that I will be relying on Jimmy G this year. And, you know, barring the unforeseen of him getting hurt for a third season, that it would be Trey Lance as the quarterback of the future, because I think he gives me the most options and a ton of growth potential there. I don't think the 49ers are going to end up doing this, but
it would be nice if they did.
But that's
Field. I want to ask you this really quickly. Obviously we saw a comment from Kyle Shanahan yesterday about Jimmy Garoppolo being on the roster on Sunday. Is there anything that we should read into that comment, or was that just like a weird way for him to say, I don't know who's going to be alive between now and Sunday, and we just sort of let it go?
You know, Daniel, it's been a weird year in a lot of ways, really a weird 14 months. So I wasn't sure exactly how to interpret that. I feel okay today, but I'm starting to, like, I'm going to become, Stefania, what do you call the person who always thinks they're sick? Is that a...
Hypochondriac.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, right? I'm weary of becoming a hypochondriac by the end of this week. So because of Kyle Shanahan's comments, and what I have found, though, and I don't want to come across as just like, you know, carrying water for these coaches and general managers, but what I have found is that when these coaches and general managers are asked basically the exact same question 4, 5, 6, 7 times within the course of one press conference, at some point you need to sort of like, hey, I don't know how else to say this other than with like a sort of goofy, gimmicky line. And that was a way for Kyle Shanahan to make it clear, like, we're moving on from this topic, right? Like, you guys know our stance. We think Jimmy G could be our starter for this year, but we understand that if someone blows us away with an offer this weekend, they could potentially trade Jimmy Garoppolo. So that was my interpretation of Kyle's comments in the specific manner in which he said them.
Sure. Can I offer my interpretation?
Sure. Yeah, bring it, Matthew.
Yeah. They're moving on from Jimmy G. They're going to draft a franchise quarterback at 3, and they're moving on from Jimmy G. And he just didn't want to say that because Kyle Shanahan's a good dude, and he wants to be respectful to the player and the process. But, like, so it's just like, I can't say we're getting rid of him. So you dodge it with sort of that weird question. I remember when I went to the Combine, not this past year because no one went because of the pandemic, but 2 years ago when Matt Rhule took over as coach of the Carolina Panthers. And the big question was, what are they going to do with Cam Newton? Are they going to release Cam Newton? Is he their starter? What's going on? He's obviously an iconic player from Carolina, franchise guy, face of the franchise, but it felt like his time in Carolina had come to an end. And so he got, you know, Matt Rhule got asked at that press conference at the Combine, his first time in front of the press, about Cam Newton a bunch of times. And I remember Matt Rhule saying at the time, he goes, yeah, you know what? Everyone, you know, no one's guaranteed a starting job because somebody said, is Cam Newton your starter this year, starting quarterback?
Yeah.
And so he said, you know, no one's guaranteed a starting job. Everyone's going to come into camp and compete. And I didn't have the guts. I really wanted to raise my hand and be like, coach, you said that everyone's going to come into camp and compete for a starting job. What does Christian McCaffrey need to do to show you he deserves the starting job? But I thought that'd just be a jerk move. And so I didn't do it and I didn't have the guts to do it. But look, I'm telling you right now, I don't know who the quarterback of the 49ers is going to be this year. I can just tell you who it's not going to be, and that's Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, they're done with him. They are. Like, you know what I mean? Because otherwise there's no reason for that answer.
Boy, are you going to be
– Yeah, Stefan, you get final word here because this is your squad.
Yeah. So my final word is that I think the 49ers largely have been pretty transparent. And I think what we are seeing, although they don't want to, they ultimately don't want to tip their final hand. But I think at each stage, as they have done things, what they are doing is pretty reflective of how they're feeling. And I've heard a lot of people say there's no way they would make these trades and move up to this spot if they didn't know who they were taking. And my belief is that they probably had a good idea based on what Shanahan wanted of what they were going to do when they made all that, when they made all those moves. But I think their investigation into guys who were potentially going to be available and of interest has brought out a little more nuance and a little more discussion within the organization of who's it going to be. And I think what they end up doing is also going to influence what they do with Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't think it's as cut and dry as Matthew, like, oh, they're done with them. They're not. I don't think so. I think the offer would have to be right. I mean, the other thing is they got left without a quarterback. I don't know how many times I have to say that. When Jimmy G got hurt, they didn't have anybody. So it's not like he's just disposable, because they could end up, let's say they draft Mac Jones and he plays and he gets hurt in week four. Like, I don't see it as cut and dry. Like, we're going to trade one in and trade one out. Yes, he's going to push them. Yes, they're looking at what comes next after Jimmy G, but I don't think it's cut and dry. Like, they're done with him. I don't believe so.
All right.
We can move on if you want, Daniel.
We do want to move on.
I'll tell you what, this is what I want. I just want to start the podcast with you three. Matthew, I want to know, the Washington football team, obviously you guys signed Ryan Fitzpatrick this offseason to be your quarterback, but Mel Kiper and Todd McShay both have mocked in either the second or third round a second-tier quarterback to your football team. I'm curious, do you want your Washington football team to go after a quarterback on day two to be able to back up Fitz, or do you want to continue to wait and maybe look at next year for that long-term quarterback fill-in?
No, I mean, I think it depends on who's available and who the prospect is. You know, I mean, like, you know, somebody who grew up in College Station, Texas, and watches a lot of Texas A&M football, like, if Kellen Mond is there, it's kind of interesting to me, right? The fact is this is why I love the signing of Ryan Fitzpatrick, is it gives you options. You can do so many things. Like, they signed him to I think it was a one-year, $10 million deal.
Right. I think there's some incentives in there, but the base value is $10 million exactly.
Which is a bargain for a starting quarterback, which is absolutely what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. So at $10 million, they have a very competent starter who's certainly an upgrade over what they had last year when they won the division. Or if somehow Mac Jones or one of the big five falls to them at 19, I think that is highly unlikely, but you never know. Drafts get weird. If one of the big five falls to them at 19, they can draft him with no issues there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I think it gives them tons of flexibility. If, for example, Kyle Shanahan decides all things are forgiven with Daniel Snyder and calls them up and, you know, listen, they did make the deal for Trent Williams. Like, you know, calls them up and says, hey, here's Jimmy Garoppolo on a deal that we think makes sense. Then you can do that too. Like, Fitzy gives them so much flexibility. What I want Washington to do is I think what they really need is they need a middle linebacker and they need offensive line help. You know what I mean? And so I think in the first round, I did one of those mock drafts that like Stefania did where, you know, they had me represent a team and I took Tevin Jenkins, who was the best available offensive lineman when it was my pick in that one. But whether it's him or Darashaw, I don't think Micah Parsons lasts till 19. I think there's no way that happens, but if it did, that would be amazing. Yeah, you know, whatever. But that's what I want with basically the first two picks is a linebacker and an offensive lineman. But if an opportunity presents itself with a quarterback in the second round, I'm absolutely not opposed to it. Dak Prescott was a fourth rounder. Russell Wilson was a third rounder, right? Kirk Cousins was a fourth rounder. There are obviously lots, and, you know, Brady, of course, is famously a sixth rounder. There are a number of quarterbacks that have been successful in the NFL that haven't been first round picks.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm going to do one more question.
Don't forget about Taylor Heinicke, baby. Taylor Heinicke still on the roster.
Field, this question is for you, and then I'm going to let you take back over. And we can run down the rest of this list. But I want to know, Yesterday in the First Draft podcast, we went through all 32 teams. You, Mel, and Todd broke down draft needs and what everybody, what every team potentially could do. One of the things that we talked about was how inside their own division, the Kansas City Chiefs traded their first round pick for Orlando Brown. And I am curious if, one, how you felt about this deal, because I thought it was a little bit surprising. And two, do you feel as though that there's any fantasy significance from bringing over an offensive lineman to be able to help Patrick Mahomes in the passing game or CEH in that those running backs in the run game?
Maybe a little bit for CEH, but it's certainly not something that I've thought about too much in my rankings so far. For Patrick Mahomes, like, I understand that, I mean, listen, he went from, what does he go from quarterback two to quarterback one in your preseason rankings, right? It might, there's really not that much room for him to grow, and it's better pass protection. And, you know, but at the same time, Daniel, I will note that, like, the Chiefs dealt with a ton of injuries last year. And it's not like we were talking about the bad offensive line of the Chiefs going into last season. Like, for much of last year, Patrick Mahomes had a line that people thought was respectable, right? Eric Fisher, longtime veteran, first overall pick in 2013, Mitchell Schwartz, really good player as well until he got hurt. So I think that it helps them for the playoffs if they face a team like the Buccaneers, the Super Bowl again, but I'm not so sure it has quite as much fantasy relevance as some might want it to. But in terms of the trade itself, and I would encourage everybody to listen to the First Draft podcast, Mel and Todd are just absolute, they're incredible. They have so much passion for what they do, and they are the authority on all things of these matters. It was a fascinating trade because it was kind of like a tempt me trade. It was like, hey, the Ravens and Chiefs probably have plans to meet in January of this upcoming year. It's not necessarily a trade within the same division type trade, but it's very close because the Chiefs helped Baltimore because at some point this is going to have to come to a pass, right? The Ravens and Orlando Brown were not going to be able to work out a long-term deal given that Orlando Brown wanted to be like a left tackle and they already have one in Ronnie Stanley. The Chiefs needed a left tackle really badly, and the Ravens said, fine, here's your biggest need, because he's better than any player that they were going to get at pick 31. It's a fascinating trade in so many ways. One of those where I'm not so sure it can be win-win. It sort of strikes me as like, we will be able to look back on this one 3-4 years from now and say, all right, you know what? This actually worked out better in one of these two teams' favors. So I love the intrigue. I can't wait for the draft. And I know all of us are excited for Thursday night.
All right, we're going to do some questions from our fans off of Twitter. But first, for some, the NFL draft is the most exciting day of the season. For others, it is a chance to build on last year's success. Whether your team has the first pick or the last, DraftKings is bringing the excitement to you. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is adding the thrill by offering a free-to-enter draft pool this Thursday with $50,000 up for grabs. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to play. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen on draft night and track your results throughout the evening. DraftKings will be hosting a draft night specific pool with questions ranging from who will be picked, before whom, all the way to if you think a team will trade a pick in the first round. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code FOCUS to enter the free draft pool with $50,000 in prizes up for grabs. That's promo code FOCUS to get a free shot at $50,000 in total prizes. Only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Heck yeah. We're going to come back on Monday of next week and have a full draft recap with everybody. Go through, break down everything that we saw from the NFL draft and what we think about it. But for now, Field, that was it. I just wanted to ask the three.
You just drop a heck yeah.
He said that pretty frequently. Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah, I do. I mean, you think Mama Dopp lets me say the H-E-double-L word?
Yeah, never.
Matthew Berry?
Probably not, but I don't know. Heck yeah sounds much more, you know, I grew up in Texas, and heck yeah is more, I feel like, you know, Southern, not really Detroit.
Well, heck yeah, Matthew Berry.
Yeah.
Daniel, Field, I have to tell you, you know, on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus, which is entering its fifth season this year.
Right.
We how unbelievable is that?
What are the over under on the number of seasons for the fantasy show? 1.5?
It's I mean, it's
half of those being from you and then Stefania taking over.
I think the fact that Daniel's on it, you know, definitely gave it extended life. Fields right. gets Probably. Hosted. I mean, that right there, Fields, you know, extended
Fields,
the life.
Fields gets hosted. Stefania, you and your minions pop by all the time. It is a true cast of characters. But over the 5 years and close to 300 episodes that we have done of the show, we always ask Daniel to play a lot of different characters. And what we have found over those 300 or so episodes, those 5 years, is that literally every single character Daniel does sounds like an old-timey prospector, which is the one character he can sort of do. And so it's
sort of is the key word there too. It's not even all that great.
No, no, but it's the only semi-competent one you can do.
Yes.
Right.
Actually, a great thing that it's a video medium too, because he looks like an old-timey prospector.
Does look like an old-timey
prospector. He just needs like the sourdough Sam, you know, the mascot for the 49ers.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
Actually is supposed to be like, because of the 49ers, Matthew, do you understand? Like 49ers mining for gold, the prospector. Just want to make sure you're following along. Like that would be a good outfit for him.
Thank you for putting that together for me, Stefania. I appreciate that. I wasn't that one I didn't put together. I mean, I'm smart enough to realize they want out of the Jimmy Garoppolo business, but I was not able to figure out sourdough Sam. Hey, Field Yates, what if they get rid of post June 1st, if they get rid of Garoppolo, what's the cap hit?
The good news for the 49ers is we've reached the point of Jimmy Garoppolo's contract where his dead money is going to be $2.8 million if he's traded before June 1st. So they don't have to worry about a post June 1st acquisition. It would create just $1.4 million in additional cap space. They've got plenty of cap space. This is not like the Julio Jones story, which maybe we'll be talking about that more on Tuesday, where there are significant ramifications for that June 1 date. So if Jimmy G is not on the roster by the end of this weekend, it would be a little bit of a shock, but not necessarily a total surprise. It's a reminder, by the way, just a reminder to people, things change so quickly during the offseason, so fast. I mean, so fast. Adam Schefter is the most plugged in, well-sourced person I've ever come across in my entire life. And I know when he first broke that trade from San Francisco, the feeling amongst the 49ers was that they were planning to keep Jimmy Garoppolo. But a month later, you marinate over these prospects a little bit more, and you potentially have offers available. You have to consider other options. So it's a reminder that NFL teams themselves are changing course within the course of just a couple of months or even 1 month in this instance. So a lot of up for grabs opportunities this weekend. I would say that the players that come to mind that could be traded, by the way, over the draft weekend, Jimmy Garoppolo, Zach Ertz, Anthony Miller, the Bears wide receiver, three that come to mind that could be on the move this weekend. And there are certainly others. Say it again. Teddy Bridgewater. Absolutely. Teddy Bridgewater is a name to keep in mind. You know, there's all kinds of speculation about players that could or could not be available. So certainly a fun weekend ahead here with the draft and the possibility of trades.
And Stefania, since you pointed out to me about Sourdough Sam, I just wanted to point something out there that I don't know if you noticed, but what Field said in the most polite, politically correct way possible is that the 49ers don't know what they're doing. That's mm-hmm. what he just said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like they made the trade. They thought they were going to do this and now they might do this. They don't have any clue what they're doing. I think that's what Field said. He said it very nicely and politely. But I just wanted you to recognize that was our, you know, NFL insider's analysis of the situation.
I love your also filters. Very plugged in. Also your filters very plugged that in. Always make you hear what you want to hear. It's right. You know, one thing about you, Matthew, is God love you. You haven't changed a bit in all the years I've known you. I do have well, one more
except I'm fatter and balder. But yes,
I do have one more question for Field along those lines. Yeah. And then we can move on from the 49ers because I know Matthew's got a little team envy because my team is so central to the topic of the draft and they're the most important one right now. But any chance the Patriots make a trade for Jimmy G?
I don't think so. I could be wrong. I totally could be wrong there. I don't think so. That being said, if you ask me, well, if it's not the Patriots, what's the most likely suitor for Jimmy Garoppolo? I don't have a good answer. So I would say more unlikely than likely. That being said, I don't have a favorite if it's not the Patriots. A lot of things, I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, anything is possible in the draft weekend because we have a couple of certainties like Trevor Lawrence going first overall, but I've certainly got my, I've got my eyes or my antenna is up for a Jimmy Garoppolo trade somewhere, somehow. The interesting part about trading for
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you, Field.
Yeah, you did. Let Field in. Okay.
No, you, I mean to interrupt. Field, I feel bad about.
Right.
So
I want to hear Field finish his thought. You hold tight.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the one interesting part about the Patriots potentially acquiring someone like Jimmy Garoppolo or Mac Jones, specifically amongst the quarterback prospects, is just the idea that we know what the offensive system, the vision is with Cam Newton as the quarterback, and it's a lot different than what it would be for Jimmy Garoppolo or Mac Jones. And I'm putting the cart way before the horse here, but if you're the Patriots and you trade for Jimmy Garoppolo, does that mean that right away you're like, all right, Cam, we're going to try to trade you somewhere else or potentially move on from Cam and just cut him? Because I think the systems you'd be installing for those two players are so decidedly different. I mean, Cam basically shattered every Patriots quarterback rushing record in like three games last year, much less over the course of a season. So anything's possible, but I think it'll be interesting. That would be interesting fallout if they do make a move of that nature.
Yeah.
What were you going to say, Matthew?
No, I was just going to throw out a really random idea that I have absolutely no sourcing for at all. But in terms of you're asking about, you know, possible landing spots for Garoppolo that aren't New England,
yeah.
What about Chicago?
Yeah, sure. I mean, those are the names that you keep hearing. Chicago would be one, certainly would be a team to keep an eye on. They'd probably have to find a trade partner for Nick Foles first. The trouble for the Bears, who, by the way, of course, that would be a reunion for Jimmy G, played his college football at Eastern Illinois, Midwest kid, is that as of right now, and you can move money around quickly, but as of right now, the Bears have $410,000 in cap space. Ouch. Jimmy Garoppolo's cap, it would be about $23+ million. So they'd have to find a way to move $23 million around, plus sign the players they have to they have in their draft class. And they've got, I mean, I'm trying to be less of like a pile-on guy right now with NFL front offices, but they've got a cap mess. They really do for a team that needs to win big this year. The Bears don't have a lot of options, but Jimmy G, at least someone on the radar.
Here's the real question, Matthew. How does it feel to have more money in cap space than a football team?
Ooh.
Pretty exciting, actually.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I like that.
I love you, Daniel. That.
Yeah. Maybe I'll sign Jimmy Garoppolo.
Maybe you sign Jimmy G.
Maybe I will, just to do chores around the house and stuff. Love you know, it. Listen,
Stefania starts coming over all the time. Beth never leaves the house.
No, listen, Jimmy, I need you to get Connor to lacrosse practice. Like, you know, like, yeah, sorry. Our Uber Eats bill is killing us. Can you go, can you pick this up? I need you to go grab a pie and a couple of sandwiches at the pizza place down the road.
Love it.
Yeah,
Daniel, should we ask a couple of questions? Or
Field, if you could float that out there on Twitter, that I personally, the Barry household, is among the rumored teams interested in acquiring Jimmy Garoppolo.
Good to know. All right,
buddy. We asked for questions on some Twitter. We asked for some questions on Twitter. Just a few things heading into the draft. We got a bunch of different responses. So, Field, I'm just going to let you take over and run down with the time that we have left.
Yeah, just a couple of questions here that are not necessarily time sensitive, but are interesting in the fantasy realm. So this one comes from Eduardo, who wants to know, who are your favorite players that could come cheaper in 2021 than 2020 due to a down season? Matthew, is there a quarterback that comes to mind? I can float some options for you if you need me to kind of jog the memory a little bit.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'll throw out some names. I mean, listen, you know, first off, you're going to call me a homer, but like no one's going to be interested in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Hey, no, but like the guy was a top 12 fantasy quarterback every single week he started for Miami. And I would argue that he has better weapons in Washington with Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, Antonio Gibson out of the backfield than he did in Miami. He is not scared to throw it. I think Scott Turner is a very creative play caller who last year had to run an offense that was conservative because he had Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen Alex Smith. And so, I mean, listen, you saw the game plan he called against the Buccaneers with Taylor Heineke. So I actually think Fitzy, who's, you know, never scared to throw it deeper into tight windows, I actually think Fitzy is somebody that no one will be drafting, but will, you know, whatever his ADP is, he will earn a profit. I hate to be in on Daniel Jones again after he burned me so bad last year, but he is somebody else that everyone's going to just write off. And with a healthy Saquon in the addition of Kenny Golladay, plus Darius Slayton, plus Kyle Rudolph, who's a nice red zone threat, plus obviously Sterling Shepard, and they're rumored to maybe get Devontae Smith, you know, or something like that. Like we'll see. Like Daniel Jones, who can get you 20 to 30 rushing yards a game with his feet, is also interesting as kind of a lower tier quarterback that'll go cheap. And then the last one I'll give you, Field, is Cam Newton, as we just talked about. Like he needs to be the starter, obviously, in New England. But this is a guy that was QB 16 last year, despite the fact he only had one game with multiple touchdown passes. He had only he averaged under 175 passing yards per game. Like he had one of the worst passing seasons in NFL history and still was a mid-tier QB too. And now I don't necessarily love any of them specifically for my fantasy team, but for Cam Newton's fantasy value, the addition of Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith and Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne, along with Jacoby Myers, like all of a sudden the Patriots have some actual passing game weapons. And of course, Cam gets you so much value with his feet. So yep,
certainly. Stefania, moving forward here to the running back, any players that come to mind for you that were down last year who could represent bargains this season? Nope, she's on mute, but you were sounding great.
I think. Princeton. Oh. Nice job, Princeton. You're on mute.
I wish the mute worked in reverse. I would have just tuned you out.
Figure that one out. Figure out how to unmute yourself before you figure out worry about muting me. But yeah, I know. The person at ESPN that Stefania is the most jealous of is Tony Reale. Because Tony's got the mute button. Exactly.
I know. How do I get one of those? Daniel, can you please work on that for next year?
Yeah, you bet.
It's funny because I was just looking at the list of names that we had sort of, you know, this was like to kind of trigger your thinking. And I saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire there. And I don't know how I feel about Kansas City running back situation, what they're going to do with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I obviously his where you would take him, you know, last year, I made a mistake of taking him in the first round of one league. But I think, you know, his value or his draft stock is going to go down based on what happened last year. But I'm not sure that I understand enough exactly how his role will play out to be comfortable, at least not right now. I thought Raheem Mostert on that list. And gosh, I love Raheem Mostert. I just think that people assume that the 49ers running backs is always a stable and kind of a mess and nobody really gets their share, but the way he's utilized and the opportunity he has to make plays, I think Raheem Mostert is somebody that will still get ignored because he's not listed as a feature back and can provide you incredible fantasy production as long as he's healthy week in and week out, especially if that offense moves up a notch in terms of what they do between whether it's their collective health or whoever is running the offense under center over there. So that of the names that I have there, that's most interesting to me.
I'll throw a couple more in there, by the way, at wide receiver. Let Matthew take tight ends, of course, his beloved position. Wide receiver, a couple of nominees, and hat tip to Kyle for suggesting some as such. DJ Chark from the Jaguars last year, I think, was undone by inferior quarterback play. I know Gardner Minshew is very popular. It's a great Halloween costume for those that haven't tried it before. But I do think there's some fool's gold involved with how his stats have looked over the past couple of seasons. Obviously, upgrading to Trevor Lawrence will go a long way for all Jaguars pass catchers. And the offense would just be a much more professional outfit this year. New system, new quarterback, new coaching staff, better depth at wide receiver for less attention to be thrown at DJ Chark. And T.Y. Hilton just came on like an absolute beast down the stretch last year. It looked much more like, well, T.Y. Hilton. Obviously, Carson Wentz is going to be the straw that stirs the drink there in Indianapolis, but I have enough confidence that he'll be closer, not necessarily an exact carbon copy of his 2017 self, but closer to his 2017 self, Matthew, that I think he will bounce back, which leads us to tight ends. And that's you. Who do you got? Yeah,
right. And so, you know, I mean, I think there's a couple of guys. I mean, like, I don't know that, like, there's some, like, deep sleepers at tight end that I'm interested in. And so not necessarily even bounce back guys here. But, I love Adam Trautman, right, who is, was a rookie last year for the Saints. Jared Cook has moved on to the Chargers. And, you know, we know that offense that Sean Payton likes to run. Like, we'll see whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston or likely both under center. But I do think Trautman, who showed some flashes last year, is a really interesting kind of late round sleeper. Same with, we were just talking about Chicago, and it's much as we want to sort of bag on the Bears, I do like Cole Kmet quite a bit. So, you know, Cole Kmet would be somebody that I think is a really interesting sort of deep sleeper. I'm obsessed with Donald Parham, former XFL superstar Donald Parham. I thought he was finally freed with the Hunter Henry going to the New England, but then, of course, they signed Jared Cook. But I still think you'll see Parham more this year with the Chargers than you did last year. And then, you know, for a little bit more of an obvious name, how about Irv Smith, who, you know, again, last year without Kyle Rudolph, I think this is off the top of my head, over the final four games of last year without Kyle Rudolph, Irv Smith was a top five fantasy tight end. Now, that was, again, it doesn't take much to be that. Like, he scored, I think, in two, he had two good games and two half games.
It was like five touchdowns on eight catches or something absurd.
Right, it's something insane, like an unsustainable rate. But I believe in the talent of the kid. Like, he was somebody that I liked a lot coming out of college. Third year in the NFL here for Smith, no Kyle Rudolph, a bigger role for him, a larger target share. So I think Irv Smith is going to be a popular sleeper, so I don't necessarily know that he's going to be, quote, cheap come draft day, but I do think he has the talent to outperform his ADP, even though he won't be, you know, even though he won't be super cheap. Last guy I'll mention, by the way, is also a guy that you mentioned earlier in the show field is Zach Ertz. I believe Zach Ertz has one more good year in him left. And I think a new start, you know, depending on where he goes, depending on where he goes, what team he goes to, you know, obviously health is always the issue with Ertz, but I do think Ertz has the potential to have, you know, at least one more great year.
Matthew, when you say one more great year, that means he will finish as a top 10 tight, like he's a starting tight end in fantasy, or he's okay.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's great. It's maybe a strong word because
but he's
for the longest time was a top three, top four guy. And so I don't know that I would, doesn't matter where he lands. I can't imagine drafting him over, you know, Kelsey or Kittle or, you know, the obvious guys. Right. You know, but do I think he could be, you know, top seven, top eight fantasy tight end? I do in the right situation and assuming health.
We've got a few more minutes here, so let's go to the draft. And this is a fun question that comes from Zach with a K. Stefania, what prospect slash team combination of the first round are you most hoping happens? So I'm not talking about Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. We know that is going to happen. Zach Wilson with the Jets, we know that's going to happen too. So beyond that, what would you most like to see come to life on Thursday night? Mute.
I mean, what are we doing here? I just got a call from Princeton. They'd like their degree back.
She's down to 13 now.
Yeah. Princeton has disowned you.
Well, they did that a long time ago.
Yeah.
I would like to see Devontae Smith go to the Dolphins.
Okay, I like it. Reunion with Tua Tagovailoa, of course. The Dolphins have the sixth overall pick, a team that's been largely speculated on to be in the wide receiver or offensive line market, especially after recently trading Ereck Flowers back to Matthew's Washington football team. So, TMR, was there another one?
Two?
Yeah, go for it. Two, three.
This is not going to be popular with people like Matthew, but I would love to see Penei Sewell go to the Bengals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly that would be what Joe Burrow would, I'm sure, would love. Obviously, there are.
I just feel strongly that, and, you know, call me because I'm the medical person, but I think he needs that before he needs Jamar Chase. I think he needs that. I think he needs protection before he needs another weapon. He's got some great weapons. Get him protection. Okay, said my piece.
Matthew,
I'll mute myself again for you.
Pairing or two that you like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would like Trevor Lawrence to Washington. I would like him to fall.
I think you can get some decent odds on that. I mean, maybe Caesars William Hill. I think it has it at like maybe like plus 260.
Yeah. So you know what I a couple ones. I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, actually. I know everyone's talking about Jamar Chase to Cincinnati, Stefania, but I think they could find a good wide receiver in the second round. And I think I would agree with you. I hope, as somebody who has Joe Burrow and a couple of dynasty teams, I hope they take Sewell there. How about Travis Etienne to Buffalo is one that I would really like to see. Like, you know, like Zach Moss and Devin Singletary haven't really, you know, been consistent. And that offense is so explosive, and Josh Allen is such a threat that to add somebody like Etienne, man, oh man, that would be a lot of fun. So that's a pairing I would like to see, and that's one that's been rumored out there. So I like that.
There's a good one right there. Kyle Pitts, I could probably place him anywhere. The Florida tight end who's just incredible by every metric and every game you watch, that would be certainly a fun player to see in Atlanta if they decide to stick with Matt Ryan. But Jalen Waddle of Philadelphia is one that I think would be a lot of fun as well. Remember last year we saw Matthew's guy, Jalen Hurts, perform well, not just as a runner, but also a thrower down the field, right? The guy was unbelievable, bombing throws to DeSean Jackson, and that was his first or second start where he was just carving up the defense. Give me Jalen Waddle in that offense as well, most explosive player in the draft, and a guy that, of course, Jalen Hurts knows well is, like so many great players, went to Alabama. Let's wrap right here, and I'll just ask you this, Stefania, and I don't know how dialed in you are on some of these draft prospects and the medical evaluation, but Najee Harris had a bulky ankle during the national championship game, kept him out of the Senior Bowl for the most part. Any concern have you heard anything that suggests there's lingering concern about the ankle injury that might impact him at all as a rookie?
I have not, but you know, the problem is when, and you guys have heard me say this many times, when you end, the last thing you see is someone who's struggling with an injury. You don't know until you see them again that they're truly past it, because they can be great when they're not doing anything, and then it can be problematic once they start to play. But I will say this, I mean, one of the best foot and ankle surgeons in the country is one of the Alabama team physicians. So, I don't have a worry that if the word on him is good from them, that will resonate with teams.
Agree. And by the way, I'll just one more draft question or draft comment from me here is we're, again, just 2 days away from the draft's beginning. Teams feel as in the dark and unprepared for the medical evaluations as we've seen in any draft ever. You know, Combine obviously has been, you know, a huge, huge detriment to the medical evaluations. And even though there was a medical retract, it's just different. There's a certain peace of mind that, you know, you're about to invest millions of dollars in these players, Stefania, and not having your own doctors get their own eyes on it is a sort of a daunting task for these NFL teams.
Yeah, I'll give you a Reader's Digest on basically what went down. So they invited 150 players to Indy, and even though it's being called medical retract, it wasn't really a medical retract. It sort of replaced what would normally happen in the medical component of a regular combine in an accelerated way. So normally when the players come to the combine, they go through several different rooms, they're presented and evaluated, and every team physician group has an opportunity to place their hands on the player. And, you know, just imagine for yourselves, if you went in to see someone because you had an orthopedic condition, you wouldn't expect the doctor to sit back in the corner and just hear your story about what you'd had and then be like, yeah, I'm totally good with where you are, or no, I think you need this treatment. I've seen your MRI and you're standing over there and I can't put my hands on you. That's essentially what they had to do with those 150. So they didn't really have an opportunity. They did have an area where they could go and see that player after, but if they stepped out of the room to do that, they missed the presentation on the next five guys. So it was not the same as a typical session. That being said, people I've spoken with felt like for the 150 that they got to see, they have decent information. They felt pretty good about it. What's more concerning is normally you have over 330 at the combine. So there's a whole 150 plus that they did not get to see in person. And as you know, teams cannot have these players come and visit. So medical staffs who are then asked to give their input to the front office folks and as they coordinate for the draft, had to say on a number of these players who are probably going to be your middle to later round guys, I have no idea. You know, if you hear a history that he had some shoulder instability, his MRI looks so-so, I can't put my hands on him and feel that shoulder and tell you, do I think this is really a problem? Or do I think this is no big deal and it's going to be fine for us? So if you have that kind of a question mark, put yourself in the team's shoes. If that's that guy where you have some uncertainty about a medical condition, nobody could put their hands on him, or another guy where there's no questions, who's going to lose out? And it might be the guy who Had they been able to examine him, they might have been comfortable with him. But without it, he's not going to be there. So I think those are the type of questions to kind of give you as specific as I can of the scenario where if it's a toss up, they're not going to go with the guy that they couldn't put their hands on. And in that regard, this is sort of the most challenging draft ever for those folks that they didn't get to see.
Yeah, no doubt. It's one of the most unique challenges in a unique draft. The medical side of it will definitely dictate some decisions that are made, not just in the first round, but all the way through the seventh round of the NFL draft. Before we say goodbye, a quick word from our friends at Geico. Hey, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, so a quick programming reminder. We'll be back next week, but Daniel has something to add as well.
You bet I do. Field Yates, I had something come up on my timeline in Twitter this week that said you had a birthday. Is that correct?
I did, yeah.
Happy birthday, Field Yates.
That's right. Did that happen? That's happened since we were last together?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has.
Well, I know because I...
On Twitter, like everyone was wishing Field a happy birthday.
I just wanted to say it on the podcast. Field, we never get an in-season podcast.
I need to figure out, I need to have somebody go through and figure out if more people said happy birthday to me or Field on our birthdays on Twitter.
I'll tell you, Matthew, you know what? That sounds like a great job for Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's the kind of thing that I had Jimmy Garoppolo do.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm almost positive it's Field. I'm almost positive it's Field.
Well, I don't know what to say to that other than you're getting a lot of love on your birthday come December 29th as well. It's a big one for you this upcoming year.
We can we can only hope. But Field Yates, you and I, speaking of the NFL draft, Field Yates, you and I, we're going to be live on the internet.
That's right. For those who are interested, if you want to watch the ESPN Twitter live stream of the drafts, myself, Matthew, Mike Gold Jr., the cast of Sports Nation, Jason Fitz will be available Thursday, Friday, parts of Saturday as well. Very much looking forward to that. I will have, I would hope, some good insight, some laughs, and hopefully some priceless moments, some viral moments on the internet, which is always a good sign of how the draft podcast went. Anything else we need to plug here, Stefania, Matthew?
Well, I'm just going to, you'll hear from me after the third pick on Thursday night.
Yeah, let's get a live cam on. Maybe you can like go live on Twitter when the 49ers are on the clock on Thursday.
I fully expect to be live at to have some live commentary based on what happens with 49ers.
Cannot wait for that.
Once I acquire Jimmy Garoppolo, would you like me to send him over to your house to like take Rico for a walk or – sweep up or anything like that? Is there anything I can have Jimmy Garoppolo do for you?
Rico could use a Manny.
There you go.
Well, all our best to Rico, the Manny needing dog, and everybody else. We'll be back next week with a draft recap podcast. Plenty to discuss after the days ahead on Monday. Everybody enjoy the draft this week. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast.
Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. With advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.